The world of construction is transforming before our eyes. How we design, plan, quantify, and build is changing day to day. But it's never been so easy to connect, share, and bring people together. Our industry is reshaping. So how do we develop relationships? How do we overcome our fears? How do we generate business? And how do we ultimately become the best version of ourselves?
This is Measured. I'm McDonaghy, and my guest today is...
Today on Measured, we are joined by none other than Tony Alexander. Tony is one of the most well-known economists in New Zealand. Having spent over 25 years as chief economist of BNZ, Tony has a unique understanding of the New Zealand economy, including the property, construction, and real estate industries. Tony publishes a weekly newsletter that provides a summary of what's going on in the economy. It's written in a really easy-to-understand manner, which for people like me, I really appreciate. So as like many parts of Australia, New Zealand is facing its toughest lockdown since the pandemic began. We're currently experiencing a level 4 lockdown, and level 4 in New Zealand is a lot different from that of Australia. Nothing is open apart from supermarkets and pharmacies. So we have Tony on the show today to provide a quick 10-minute take on how this lockdown is affecting the New Zealand construction and property industry. Tony, thank you for being on the show.
No problem, Michael. No problem.
So the first question I would like to ask is, what impact is the New Zealand Level 4 lockdown likely to have on the construction and property industry over the next few months, Tony?
Yeah, look, just a temporary pausing of activity. In Level 4, just about nothing can be done. Level 3, which the rest of New Zealand outside of Auckland has moved to, they can undertake some activity on construction sites, but it's still fairly limited. It's not until we get down to Alert Level 2 that things can really basically get going again. And the experience of last lockdown is that once we open up, people can move freely, you get some fairly strong rebounding of activity. And so while things will simply be delayed, maybe, you know, 4-6 weeks, something like that, it'll be all gangbusters again, basically, as soon as we open up and as long as the supply chains are functioning okay. So might be just some impediment there with some of the warehouse, you know, transitions.
Okay, awesome. Now, obviously, the New Zealand construction industry is starving for talent at the moment. How do you see the continued immigration freeze and border restrictions impact the contractor's ability to build? And what does this mean for New Zealand's economy?
Yeah, well, it basically means that a lot of stuff people want to get built within a certain time frame, they're not going to be able to do that because the builders aren't there, aren't available, or maybe some of the materials aren't available. And it's amazing, I guess, in construction, the different ways in which a project can be impeded. It only takes sort of one missing contractor or contractor staff, and the whole project basically has to get diverted into something different for a while. And for New Zealand, I do have a warning to people in the building sector that although demand for virtually everything, factories, warehouses, farm buildings, residential properties is going to be strong for 2 or 3 years, they are at risk of losing staff, especially across to Australia, once we get the border reopened with Australia, which has its own, you know, hefty demand for staff across there, especially in residential with the home build or home start program the government initiated over a year ago. I think we're actually going to lose staff from New Zealand across the ditch. So my warning to many businesses is be very careful what you sign up to, your delivery dates and any sort of penalty payment clauses, because I think the situation is going to get worse over the next 18 months.
That's very true, Tony. I we'd recently noticed it significantly when the bubble was open. It was a pretty good market for contractors in Australia to headhunt from New Zealand. Salaries are obviously a little bit higher, and there's obviously that attraction to live in places like Brisbane, the Gold Coast, with the Brisbane Olympics now been awarded for 2032. But how do you see the overall construction and the general sort of economy at the moment performing in New Zealand right now?
Yeah, I think a fairly strong and diverse range of supports for the New Zealand economy over the next 1, 2, and 3 years. Obviously, construction is one of them, not just house building, where we've got a record number of consents issued for new houses to be built at running about 75% above the 20-year average for the number of units, standalone houses, etc., being built. But also over the past year, we've had 15% plus growth in the value of consents for all other types of buildings, commercial, accommodation, retail. Well, that's actually gone back a little bit, etc. So that activity is going to be strong. Businesses are going to have to boost their capex, their capital expenditure, because they can't find the labour that they want. So they're going to have to deepen their capital bases. So that will both retard but also improve economic growth going forward. Consumer spending, we know from last year's experience, obviously gets hit quite a bit during the lockdown. And then once we get freed from lockdown, our bank balances are higher because of the wage subsidy schemes. We haven't been able to spend. We'll go on, this time, a spending binge, maybe not quite as large as after the 7 weeks of lockdown from March through to May last year. But the consumer spending outlook, I'd suggest, is still good based on good job security. An extra $10 billion sitting in household bank accounts now beyond what we would have had without COVID-19 pandemic, for instance. There will be some restraint from interest rates going up maybe 2 to 2.5% over the next couple of years. But also there's support from house prices having risen, gone up 31% over the past 12 months. So people feel wealthy, they'll continue to do some spending. Of huge significance is, I guess, exports. About 32% of New Zealand's exports go to China. Although their economy has slowed down a little bit recently, we're finding extremely good levels of demand for our red meat, assisted by soaring beef prices across in Australia, of course, where the rains have fallen. Demand for forestry products out of New Zealand, seafood products is very strong. And with the world economy generally improving with a bit of a Delta sort of knockback, that's also positive for New Zealand's economy going forward. And one day the borders open up, we will get international visitors back in, and that international travel is a net gain for the New Zealand economy. So, you know, I have a fairly good outlook for our economy. And when I'm talking with businesses generally on my travels around the country or webinars at the moment, it's warning businesses their biggest problem going forward isn't really going to be lack of demand from customers. It's going to be getting the resources, the staff, the premises, maybe some of the bank finance, the materials, certainty of the supply chain. Those are the things businesses are going to be spending more resources, you know, devoted to solving that than acquiring new customers in the next 3 years.
Do you see that there might be a potential for employers to increase salaries? I know that salaries have been fairly sort of stagnant over the last few years. Is that a potential to attract people to come to New Zealand?
Yeah, I don't know about any salary increase in New Zealand is going to attract people from overseas. If you come to New Zealand, you will earn less. I mean, that's basically it, end of story, apart from maybe some highly specialised fields there. And so people come back to New Zealand for the lifestyle. And this, I think, is possibly where a lot of Kiwis have got the wrong end of the stick. They think a lot of people overseas, especially the 1 million Kiwi citizens and residents who live overseas, are all going to come flooding back to New Zealand and provide employees for you know, businesses. Well, it's not going to happen because you're looking at very strong labour markets overseas, which will keep those Kiwis overseas. There's 650,000 of us in Australia, for instance, and there's strong demand for people overseas. The wages are rising, and we simply will not be able to compete on that basis. But we are already seeing wages growth accelerate relatively early, sort of in the recovery period after the initial sell-off, and unemployment rate went to 5.2% late last year. We're back at 4% in New Zealand now. And wages growth is accelerating. And my warning to businesses is they're going to have to boost productivity because wage costs will continue to increase at an above average pace, I'd suggest, over the next 3 to 5 years.
So just one final question for you, Tony. Are you hopeful that the construction economy can continue to prosper following the sort of the era of lockdown?
Yeah, most definitely. My biggest concern about construction has nothing to do with really the post-lockdown period immediately. It's not really in the commercial sector, industrial, that sort of side. It would be more on house building, where all Kiwis have convinced themselves there's a shortage of houses everywhere in the country. Everybody is looking at freeing up land if possible, government looking to improve infrastructure supply. And these are all positive things because house prices have gone up a long way. So, you know, there is certainly the demand sitting out there. but we have a history in New Zealand of some pretty rugged house construction cycles, soaring in the early 70s, then collapsing away, rising to a peak in 2004, falling to a multi-decade low in 2011. Now we're at a record high level. But the level of houses being built is unsustainable. The number of extra houses needed for population growth in the next 30 years is maybe 500,000, 550,000. Well, when you're running at 45,000 consents for new dwellings at the moment, we're going to be able to build all of these properties, not within 30 years, but in less than 15 years. So I do actually have a very specific warning for people operating in the residential construction sector 3 to 5 years out. At some point, we Kiwis are going to start feeling there's an oversupply of houses, and so there'll be a pullback. And so the advice I give the builders when I speak at their conferences, etc., is be prepared to take some risk off the table, maybe 3 years or so time, because the buyers will at some point say, I wonder who's going to occupy all these townhouses in Auckland or all these subdivisions out the back of Otorohanga, etc. So that's my main concern, not really related to the lockdown period.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Tony. So for the listeners out there that want to sort of connect with you further and possibly become a subscriber of the newsletter, is the best place to go your website, Tony?
Yeah, that's right. I've got a free weekly publication called Tony's View. I could call it whatever I want when I set out on my own about 2 years ago, almost exactly. And I thought, hey, let's put my name on it. And just go to tonyalexander.nz. It's free. People can sign up there. I'm always writing about the housing market, but also about the economy overall, and especially interest rates now that for the third time since the end of the global financial crisis, our central bank is trying to raise interest rates. So we'll see how it goes this time around, but a lot of interest on the interest rate side now.
Well, thank you for being a guest on the show today, Tony, and providing that valuable insight to the industry and the economy right now. So maybe sometime in the future, we can get you on again.
Yep, no worries at all, Michael.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for listening to Measured with me, Mick Donaghy. Our goal with this podcast is to create a community of construction professionals from a variety of backgrounds and experiences to develop, learn, and grow together. As a business, our aim with Frankel & Smith is to become the most respected pre-construction and quantity surveying recruitment agency in Australia within the next 5 years. Thereafter, our goal is to build a 100-year company that outlives us as owners, but lives on in the careers and legacy projects we recruit for. Listening to this podcast is being a small part of that journey, and we are forever thankful for your time. If you'd like to connect further with our ever-growing community, check out the Measured Facebook and LinkedIn pages. Thanks for listening to Measured. Catch you next time.